Oh my God. Oh my God, Keani.
Oh my God.
Keani, we're back.
Oh my God, we're back.
Ah,
it's been so long.
It's your beautifully bearded co-host, Cody, here. Obviously, I'm with Keani. I would like to give you guys a heads up. I'm not going to be doing much, if any, editing on this episode, so if it sounds a little rough, you're welcome to
you're
be
welcome.
Graced with our presence as we crawl into your ear hole.
You're welcome.
So this is going to be an episode where we just talk about recommendations. And to get us started, I do have an honorable mention that should only take a couple minutes.
Okay, proceed. Tell me.
So there's this podcast called Comics and Chronic, which is exactly what it sounds like. These guys are hilarious. One of them has like the best belly laugh that I've ever heard. It's like contagious laughter, just a bunch of dudes hanging out. They did a Sopranos summer series, which like went over a lot of episodes of Sopranos. That's when I got familiar with their podcast, but like they mostly talk about comic book and like, you know, Marvel related stuff, superheroes and what have you. Very funny.
Nice.
Yeah, if you like our show, definitely drop by there, check them out. But Keani, why don't you go ahead and open up with number one?
Well, I would say that my number one thing would have to be, well, I don't know if I'd call it number one. These are my top three favorites, no particular order, but let's start with Spy Family. Spy Family is an anime, and it was actually originally a comic turned into anime, or well, not a comic, but a, what's that called? You know what I'm talking about.
Graphic novel?
Yeah. But no.
Are you talking about, God damn it. I know what you're talking about. I can't think
yep.
of what it's called.
Yep. My brain's, farting right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manga?
Yes. There we go.
Okay.
There we go. It was a manga.
I could hear people yelling at me through, and I'm like, oh, they'll tell me. I'll figure it out.
Yep, same. I can hear them. We can hear you guys screaming, it's a manga, bitch! Anyway.
You fucking idiot. Anyway.
You fucking moron! Anyway, so, Spy Family. I would like to read the manga, but I ended up watching the anime, which is on Crunchyroll, I believe. Really good. Basically, it's exactly what you think, Spy Family. This guy starts off, not to give too many spoilers, but this guy starts off and he's a spy. And for his next mission, he needs a child. And so he goes and adopts this kid. And so he's a spy. The kid is an empath, can like read minds. She was part of like a science project or like science whatever thing. And so she can read minds. And then all of a sudden he realizes he's going to need a wife. And since the girl can read minds, she knows what's going on. She knows he's a spy. She knows what's up. And they end up bumping into a woman who is an assassin. And the girl's like, ooh, this will be fun. So she figures out a way to like hook them together. She's like, oh, I need a mommy, blah, blah, blah. I miss my mommy so much. The woman's like, oh, you're single? Well, I have a party and I need somebody. And then they end up with like a future with a dog that can see the future.
That little girl's a fucking sociopath, by the way, but go on.
And she literally like finesses everyone. And what's funny is like literally no one knows except for her name's Anya, except for Anya. Like she's obviously aware of everything that's going on. And she's like trying to help her dad with the mission. But she really loves having the family and whatnot. Cause obviously she's the kid that needs adopted. But they end up like developing this like dope ass family dynamic. And it's really fucking good. And it's so funny. It's fucking hilarious. Like she punches a kid in the face, like, her first day of, like, this private school that they managed to get her into, which is, like, part of the mission, so they can get
gotta
closer
establish
to these
dominance.
World leaders. All in all, really good, really funny, like I said. Definitely think it's worth the watch. I absolutely want to check out the manga. So, yeah, Cody, what do you have for your first?
Okay, so the first one that I'm going to talk about is a TV show that popped up on Amazon Prime. It was a limited series with two seasons, so it's all wrapped up and finished, but it's amazing. It's a 1970s like period piece about hunting Nazis. It's Hunters on Amazon Prime.
Well, nice.
The whole premise is basically these elder survivors of the Holocaust discovered that America brought over all the Nazis in Operation Paperclip, and they're like, hey, guys, we need scientists. Would you like some jobs? We need to get to the moon. And, you know, shit like that, kind of like what happened in real life. And the goal of these survivors basically is just to hunt down and kill remaining Nazis.
Nice.
It's, well,
it sounds
interesting. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but it has probably one of the best cold opens that I've seen in a TV show in a very long time. Very easy to knock out. Like I said, only two seasons. Al Pacino's in there as like an elderly Nazi hunter, which is just, it's so good. Even without him being in there, I would recommend the show heavily, though. Definitely worth checking out. Again, that's Hunters, Amazon Prime, only 2 seasons. Now, Keani, nice. Bouncing it back to you.
Okay, my next suggestion is a graphic novel. Well, it is a trilogy of graphic novels. I am currently on the third one, but it's called The Motherless Oven Trilogy by Rob Davis. The first one is called The Motherless Oven. The second one is The Can Opener's Daughter. And the third one is The Book of Forks. Okay, this shit, it's mind-bending, abstract adventure. It has, like, this very dystopian feel. There's youthful rebellion. It fucking rains knives. There's, like, instead of birthdays, they have death days. And, like, it's this group of kids that are, like, trying to, like, this, the one kid in particular is, like, coming up on his death day, and that he makes these friends that are trying to, like, avoid their death day. And it's weird because, like, kids make their parents, like, their parents are like household utensils and stuff. And they, like, create them at the motherless oven, and, like, and then there's different, like, things in the kitchen, like tools that they would use. They call them, like, the kitchen gods or, like, the ink gods. And the ink gods, like, teach stuff. And it's literally just an inkwell that you dip a pen into. But it, like, talks to you. It's very strange and offbeat. But it just grabs you. Like, it just grabs your attention and holds you for the whole ride. And it's very fucking weird. And I love it. And right now I'm on the third one. And the first one has you being like, what the fuck? I really don't understand what's going on here, but I must know more. And then the second one gives you a little bit more background detail. And then the third one so far seems to, like, really be explaining in depth what the fuck is going on, like the mystery of these towns and where everybody comes from and why death days. And it's really fucking good. I really like it.
Is it finished or is the third one just the current issue?
The third one is just a trilogy and that is it. Yes. It's a trilogy and that is it. And they're really good. I really think you would like them. They're very, like I said, very weird, very dystopian, very abstract, adventure-y.
Man, I am backlogged on the things that I already need to read as is.
Yeah.
I
mean, fair.
Audible wise, I've been knocking it out because, like, thanks to your pal Lizzie there, I've listened to a lot of Star Wars books since my wedding, almost exclusively Star Wars stuff.
Yes, yes.
Knocked out a lot of the Legends material from, like, the 90s onward.
Izzy puts me on an immense amount of books. Like, that's one of our things, is I will listen to books and I'll be like, oh my god, thank you for telling me about this. Now let's talk about all of it.
Yeah, this isn't one of my recommendations, but the Star Wars book Heir to the Empire, like, that's the first one post-Return of the Jedi before they announced any of the sequels, before any of that. Like, it was just a different Luke Skywalker. They introduced Admiral Thrawn, who was, I mean, from my understanding, not my understanding. So I first saw Thrawn in Rebels, and I was like, oh, that's a cool character. And then I read heard the book, listened to it, whatever. And I'm like, holy shit, they should have done, like, the Disney version seems like he's a little nerfed, a little bit nicer, because, you know, it's Disney. Like, not nice per se, but not as maniacal or over the top.
Just more like PG.
Yeah, whereas, like, this guy figured out a way to, like, neutralize the Force. There's a fucking, like, he made a clone of a Jedi. Had a clone. It's great. I'm not spoiling a book from fucking nearly 40 years ago, guys. Go fuck yourselves. But no, Heir to the Empire is an awesome book if you're a Star Wars fan, and the way it, like, goes on from there. But anyways, that wasn't necessarily one of my recs.
Speaking of books that are not necessarily one of my recs, since, you know, you threw one out there, I want to throw a couple out there. The Avatar the Last Airbender. Well, all of you have seen this show, or most of you, I should hope, if you're listening to us, you've seen this fucking show. Anyway, there are actually books on Amazon that are on Audible, which I've listened to them. There's two of them now. And I feel like I've talked about these before. The first one is about Kiyoshi, Avatar Kiyoshi, which these are like prequels to that. And it's called, Avatar, The Last Airbender, The Rise of Kiyoshi. And then there's The Shadow of Kiyoshi, which is the second one. And then they just came, which I loved those. And then they just came out with, one about Avatar Yang Chen. And it's
wouldn't that be Three books?
It'd be three books, because they did two books on, they did The Rise and Fall of Kiyoshi, right. And then this one is The Dawn of Yang Chen, so I'm assuming there's going to be, like, The Fall of Yang Chen. So I'm assuming it's, like, a beginning and end kind of situation.
I know the first Kiyoshi one's currently free on Audible, because I have that in my library.
It's good. God, they're so good. And what's great about them is, like, you know, Nickelodeon's obviously going to be a lot more like PG, and this gets in a little bit more intensely. It's just a different level. Mm-hmm. and they're fucking good, and she reads, I'm assuming, I don't want to assume gender, but this person reads them so fucking well. Like, they're so well read and they're so well written. They're very good, very good. Mm-hmm. But anyway, on to your second pick.
Okay, so this second pick is the reason why that right now I have no notes, and I've been playing one video game these past few days almost nonstop. Kiani, I've talked about it before, but do you recall me mentioning anything about Hitman 3?
I believe so.
It's the goofy game where you can throw a knife or a screwdriver into someone's head, blow them up, yes, drop a chandelier on them, yeah, all the yes, fun stuff. So, I think it's, if you have Hitman 3, you don't have to have the others, but I don't know, because I have all the Hitmans that I can get right now, because I love the franchise since Blood Money. But it's the what exactly is it, Free World expansion or whatever, it's like World of Assassins, and the whole plot is, spoilers if you beat Hitman 3, if you haven't, skip ahead for about 30 seconds, but you end up killing the head of what's basically the CIA and you become a freelance assassin. So this is where, like, it takes off after that.
Nice.
So you have a safe house, and as you do better, like, you take on contracts, it targets random people in the pre-existing maps, you mm-hmm, go kill them, you have certain things you can do for bonuses, like, kill three guards with a shotgun, kill three guards with an assault rifle, blow them up, blow up other people around them with a proximity, like, at the same time. Like, all these things that'll help, like, you know, give you more money, and really mix up the game a lot more than it was. It's really fun. I've been playing it, like I said, almost nonstop for the past few days, and I've never been more frustrated and in love with the game at the same time.
We love something that can challenge us.
I die constantly. I get pissed. Because when you die, you lose, like, all of your money and the guns that and all the stuff you have on you.
Oh, damn. So it's like IRL. Like, you would definitely get all your shit taken from you.
Yeah, like, you can't. You just pop back in the safe house. You're wounded. You get some money back. And as you go on, you unlock more stuff. But, like, I've lost so much good weapons. I spent, like, $20,000 in-game for, like, a really good silenced Uzi and this other shit for a mission, and then I got killed and I lost all of it. And that was the most money I'd had at that point.
That's upsetting. I would be very pissed off, but yeah, then also very determined to get it all the fuck back.
You're damn right, baby, because I don't stop playing.
Damn right, bitches.
So, what it like I said, it basically gives you random targets across all the maps. You have to go kill them in certain ways, or just however you want, but you get less of a payout for it. And if you return to the safe house with guns and weapons and stuff, it lets you save that. You have, like, a limited collection of weapons, so, like, let's say, for whatever reason, I died with all the weapons that I had in my safe house, I would have to go out and collect more weapons to bring back to the safe house, or buy them with money that I'm not good at collecting because I fucking suck.
No, it this sounds game, really actually, fun, though.
It is. That's the problem. Like, I'm having a great time, but there are certain maps that I just avoid because I know that they're too crowded, there's too much security, and I can't figure out how to fucking kill someone or blow me with a shotgun.
You'll get there. Practice. Practice makes progress.
Yeah, but since I found out about, like, the free upgrade that they, or the free mode that they added, I've been playing that pretty much nonstop, and it's been fucking great and infuriating. Like, I stopped playing Mount & Blade 2 for the most part, even though I spent hundreds of hours on there already, because I was like, ooh, more Hitman action. Like, it's been a while since I've delved back into this, and now I can't stop wanting to beat it. Fuck. Anyway, that was my second recommendation. What do you have?
My third recommendation, and this was hard, because I've been watching and listening, and I've been doing a lot of stuff lately. But I just finished, well, I've actually listened to it twice now. If this book exists, you're in the wrong universe by Jason Parjan, aka David Wong, which this is like the John Dies at the End series. If any of you have listened to that or read that, they're fucking amazing.
If you listen to the podcast, you know that we both love the author and his work.
God, it's amazing. It's amazing. I fucking love it. I would really like for them to make graphic novels out of this. Like, I think that would be so fun. Or an anime, even.
That would work for a lot of the Zoe Ash stuff, which, by the way, I do have an update for.
Yes.
The next Zoe Ash book is coming out this fall.
Yay. You can That makes me so happy. That makes me so happy. I feel like I need to... Zoe punches the future in the dick. I need to fucking read that again. I need to reread it. I always read or listen to his stuff like two or three times. Like, that's how good they are. I fucking love them.
I constantly read his books and reread them. I just haven't gotten through this latest one because I was reading it around the time of my wedding, and then I got sidetracked and got pissed off obviously. People because COVID. And motherfuckers. Anyways.
But like, this one is very on par with the rest. Witty, hilarious, interdimensional, ritualistic apocalypse situation ass going on. Like, shit going on. And also, I feel like something that I feel like they touch on quite a bit in a lot of these, but I feel like for some reason it really hit home with this one, was very much like the reality of poverty in America and like the issues with like our healthcare system and stuff like that, and how difficult it can be to even, not to spoil anything, but like how difficult it can even be to just like, if you break your glasses, getting fucking new glasses because like you don't have insurance or you don't have the money to cover the fucking copay. And like, and it just, it hits very real in this one. And I know that it's insinuated a lot in a lot of his other books, but just for some reason, and I don't know if it's just because like the state that the world is in right now or the state that America's in right now, that it really just kind of, it's amazing. Right? Sarcasm for anyone who wasn't aware of what that was. Anyway, so I just feel like for some reason it just really like hit this time, and I'm like, Jesus fuck. Jesus fuck. Like, yeah. I think that it's not that it's good that America's in that situation, but I like that it's very fucking real. It's very real with like how the world is in coping.
I think I got about a third of the way through. And I know what you're talking about with like the insurance bit. It's very topical. And it probably will stay topical, you know, in America. And maybe it's because we're both from like smaller Midwest towns, but this author's writing hits home very, very hard.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's because we both come from environments that town. Yeah, like the exact those exact environments, like what the fuck, like we're on food stamps and all that other shit, you know what I'm saying? So like we come from that, and so like we can relate to that very heavily, and I know that most of fucking America can, like most people can relate to that fucking struggle. Like, am I buying groceries this week or am I making a fucking doctor's appointment, like for this fucking pain that had swollen ankle that I've had for 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
My kid's sick. I guess I can worry about the electric bill next month because it's winter and I can't legally shut it off.
Yeah, like that's a very real, it's very fucking real. And I think most people can relate to that in one way or a fucking another. And so on top of all the witty, crazy fucking fun that's going on in this book, I also think that it really touches. And I feel like that's what kind of like brings it to you, or like makes it seem like these things are real or this could actually be happening, is because of like the reality incorporated into it, which is what makes these books so fucking, I feel like it's part of what makes them so fucking good.
Yeah. For books that are really like bizarre and out there with their concepts, there is a sense of like groundedness within the heightened reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for putting that into like better words. I'm not a word person, guys. I paint
you
things.
You do words wrong.
Cody does the words, okay?
I know do words good. You do words wrong.
Yeah, I do words wrong. Cody does words good.
Exactly.
I is smart.
I do think.
Good old American education system.
Hey, I dropped out and got a GED, baby. And look at me now. If I can do it, the stars are yours, kids. Reach for it.
Reach for it, guys. Reach for it. Oh shit. But what about you? What did you have for your last suggestion?
Well, Keani, I would have to go with my last one. It's definitely going to be, are you familiar with The Last of Us as a video game or possibly a TV show?
I am familiar with it as far as like from through you guys. Like, I haven't watched anything. I have seen commercials for the TV show that they've got going now. Mm-hmm. And then I've also heard from you guys about it. I've seen like the imagery, and then also I know that your book was based loosely around.
I definitely want to go for that kind of vibe in my book.
That kind of vibe, yeah.
Because The Last of Us, you know, it basically is based on the premise of a fungus taking over the human brain and creating a zombie-esque type character, except they have, like, mushrooms growing out of their heads and shit. And their only goal is to infect and spread and basically try to wipe out the human race. So, The Last of Us was originally a game that came out on the PS3 and was such a hit that it still is getting released now on the PS5 as a remaster. And the TV show was the second biggest premiere for HBO since 2010.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it stars everyone's favorite father, Pedro Pascal. If you've seen The Mandalorian, he plays Mando. I'm sure he's done a ton of other stuff, but I mean, all that you need to know is that he's a lovable guy and everybody just wants to hug him. And a Game of Thrones actor, Bella Ramsey, she plays Ellie. And from my perspective, does a great job at it. I can't recall who she played on Game of Thrones, but it was one of the smaller roles, I believe. You know, it was a big cast after all.
It was a huge cast. There was a lot of fucking people.
So, The Last of Us already approved for season 2. I love the show, or I love the franchise, game, whatever, so much that, like, I made it my first short film. It was a fan film based on that franchise. I've even debated getting, like, the awesome Firefly tattoo that they have for the separate faction. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
I don't know how much I can say about The Last of Us without really giving a lot away, but it's dramatic. It has a lot of horror. The episode that dropped just last night at the time of recording this, it was episode 3. Wow, that was a... Man, that was a great episode. Nick Offerman did a beautiful job. Lovely, lovely feelings and emotions, and also very highs and lows emotionally. It's beautifully done. It's on HBO Max. It's worth checking out. It's such a great show. It depicts the game so well. You care more about the characters. They explore them a lot more in depth. It already made like what was one of my favorite video games into probably one of my favorite shows by far, if they keep going at this rate.
I figured that was going to be something you were interested in, because as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, Cody.
I know I'm pretty forgiving in terms of, like, I like a lot of stuff most people consider corny or kind of trash, whatever. But, like, for The Last of Us, I'm clearly not alone when it hit, like, 22 million with the premiere and it already got approved for season 2. Like, people care about the show. Pedro Pascal is a wonderful actor. Nick Offerman was beautiful in it. They're going in a great direction. I care about these characters and the story. And I really, truly, deeply hope that when they do season 2, it's not just the second game. Because I feel like there's a time jump between the first and second game where you can do, like, there are so many stories that could be in there that you
there's so much add. Creative liberty that they could have to play with in that time frame.
And even more importantly, the one of the co-creators of the show, co-writers, whatever, there's the guy that helped, you know, come up with the game, sure. But then Craig Mazin, he's actually historically important to this podcast. Do you know why, Keone?
No.
He actually is the one who came up with the name of this podcast.
Oh!
I was listening to his screenwriter's podcast, and he was talking about his co-host and how he looks, you know, good. He's like, that's because robots don't age. And I'm like, oh, fuck, there it is.
There it is. There's the name. There it is.
That Leonardo DiCaprio meme just snapping. Oh, fuck, right there.
Right there.
But yes, that was my last recommendation, The Last of Us TV show. It's brilliant, wonderful. Definitely think people should check it out if you haven't. I assume if you're listening to this, you have, along with everything we've talked about, because this is what we were, you know, wrecking you with. You got wrecked.
You got wrecked.
We wrecked you so hard.
I don't mind getting wrecked every once in a while.
Keone, I've been your roommate. You pretty much get wrecked whenever you're home.
Ah, that is accurate.
Do you want to plug your pluggables?
Plug my pluggables. Actually, mine's battery operated. But anyway, you can find me at Abundant Studio on TikTok and on Instagram.
And of course, you can follow the podcast at Robot Stone Age on Twitter, where I'm still doing the tweeting stuff, although not as much podcast related, more just me being a sassy bitch. But I'll be
Isn't that what Twitter is?
Yeah, I feel like once I realize that I don't know how to market or advertise the podcast on Twitter, it's just me throwing shit and seeing what sticks. And so far, if I'm being genuine, it works out well for me. Whereas, like, I don't know how to try to reach an audience in a very fake, non-organic way.
Yeah, no, you should absolutely be yourself. That's the best way to be.
But I treat it less like a podcast Twitter that we all run and more like, yeah, the host kind of takes this over. And if you don't agree with the weird shit that he says, then I don't know, maybe it's not for you.
Maybe it's not for you. That's fine. I treat like my audience. I'm like, hi, friends. Like, I'm going to act my quirky, normal self. And if you like it, great. If you don't, scroll on by.
Okay. If you don't want to hear 30-minute rants on why fucking lightsaber crystals bleed red, then I just don't have time for you on this podcast.
I don't have time for you. We cannot be friends. Guys, thanks for joining us on our little reunion here.
Yeah, we'll be back next month with another probably spooky-esque episode.
All right, awesome sauce. See you guys later.